So I received a shaila this week that I thought we'd use as the springboard to talk about not only the particular answer that we tried to give to the shaila, but some of the issues that revolve around this particular shaila. It involves wearing certain kinds of garments that under normal circumstances would involve certain halachic issues. Now, that could speak about a lot of different things. That could talk about shaylas. That could talk about beged isha, men wearing women's garments, women wearing men's garments. That could talk about potential issues relating to tzitzis. So you have a whole array of possible clothing that is sometimes problematic in halacha. Is one permitted to wear those articles of clothing, derech tzchok, in a humorous way, in a, almost like a fun kind of a way? The particular shaila was asked concerning a play, someone who was acting in a school play, and their part involved some kind of a potentially questionable article of clothing. The truth is that this is a kind of a shiur that probably is closer in spirit to Purim than to the middle of Chodesh Cheshvan. And I think we may have even talked about different aspects of this perhaps over the years. But as I was preparing the shiur and as I printed out the Maamar Koma, so all of a sudden, like I shuddered that maybe someone's going to think that Rabbi Sadlovsky is talking about this topic, because in the non-Jewish world, so costumes are on people's minds the next couple of days. B'shum panav ofen, I'm giving him Odah, the shiur has nothing to do with any activities at the end of the month of October. It was not in the wildest dreams to talk about it this week. It just happened to be that the shaila came this week, so I figured, why not? So without introduction, let's begin to with the shaila proper, and then to be able to branch out and see what some of the issues that touch on us, halacha l'maisa. The question was presented, it was as follows, that a young lady was supposed to play the part in a school play that part of her costume required her to wear a pair of tzitzis. And the question was, is that appropriate? Is that permissible? Can a young lady wear tzitzis? Not doing it necessarily for the purpose of mitzvah tzitzis, but just simply wearing a pair of arbakantos, wearing a pair of talis katan, should that pose a problem or not? So there are really two different issues involved in that particular shaila. One is, what exactly are the parameters of a woman wearing tzitzis altogether from the tzitzis vantage point? Is there any isser involved whatsoever? And if so, would it be relevant under these circumstances? And then number two is that, how does this touch on the general question, leaving aside the mitzvah of tzitzis, how does this touch on the general question of beged ish, garments that are usually associated with men? How does that play out in terms of a woman wearing that in particular in this kind of a case? It was really almost like a twofold part of the shaila. So let's begin with the tzitzis part first, and we'll move a little bit into the beged ish and kind of try to put the picture together. So the first question we have to ask is there anything wrong, anything also per se, for a woman to wear tzitzis? So the Shulchan Aruch in the first Tanur Maamar Kamos tells us in Hilchos Tzitzis Siman Yud Zayin, Nashim Revadim Turim Veishem Mitzvah Seser Shezvan Grama. So the starting point is that women are exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Not a great surprise, because it's a mitzvah Shezvan Grama. It's a mitzvah that is time bound. Now, the truth is, even that statement is a little bit shaky, because what makes tzitzis time bound? So the Gemara explains, based on the pasuk or isim also, prat luxus laila, that tzitzis does not apply, or at least not associated with the time of night. And since we, quote unquote, don't wear tzitzis at night, therefore, it qualifies as a mitzvah seishes man grama, not all that different than kriyashma, tefillin, and shofar, lulav, etc., the other classic mitzvah seishes man grama. Now, truth to be told, even that association with tzitzis as being as man grama is a little bit questionable, because there is a machlekes that we showed him. What do the words mean when we say there's no tzitzis at night? So the Rambam understood that in the simplest literal sense, that you're not obligated to wear tzitzis at night. I mean, it's already dark outside, so there's nothing wrong with the Rambam would say, taking off your tzitzis. You're not getting any mitzvah by wearing your tzitzis after dark. That's what a Rishon also teaches me, prat laila. And the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that it's not that laila is exempt from tzitzis. A lashon gemara is a ksus laila is exempt from tzitzis. A garment that's usually associated with nighttime, usually associated with sleeping. If you happen to have a four-cornered pair of pajamas, that would be exempt from tzitzis, says the Rosh, even if you happen to be wearing that baggage during the daytime. If you have a day kind of a garment, which you happen to be wearing at night, so then that garment would be obligated in tzitzis. According to the Rosh, whether or not you're obligated in tzitzis is not really a function of what time it is outside, but it's more of a function of what kind of a garment are we dealing with. According to the Rambam, I understand full well why the Gemara says that tzitzis is man grama, because the bottom line is tzitzis doesn't apply during the night hours. But according to the Rosh, tzitzis applies equally to the night as well as the day. The only thing is that if it's a ksus lion, a ksus lion is part of the, why does that qualify as a mitzvah station as my grandma? So that's a problem. The Rishon already raised that problem. And the Rishon basically says, somewhere along the lines of, even though it's true that, technically speaking, tzitzis can apply at night, but since part of the engine that's driving tzitzis is day versus night, even though it's not the hours on the clock of day versus night, it's not light versus darkness in terms of what's literally going on outside, but rather, it's the ksus. So that's also called a mitzvah station as bangram. So again, it's somewhat of a chiddush, but no matter how you slice it, the Gemara does say that women are exempt from tzitzis because it's bangramah. And then if you're around, if you're Rashi, you have to explain that phenomenon. So the bottom line is, no matter what the lumdus is, the Dinei Shulchan Aruch remains for everybody, that nashim apturos from the mitzvah of tzitzis. However, the Ramah continues, and the back to the first law and the first ma'amakam, haga umikom makom imrotzim adfo levarech alav hashus biyadon, says the Ramah, if a woman wants to put on tzitzis, that's okay. And if she even wants to make a brach of putting that tzitzis, that also seems to be okay. Kamo b'shar mitzvah seh shazman grama. The same way that we apply that rule for other mitzvah seh shazman grama. Now here the Ramah is alluding to a major dispute that he had with the Shulchan Aruch. What's that general take on women volunteering mitzvah seh shazman grama, even to the extent of making brachas? So the Ramah follows the Ashkenazi tradition that began with Rabbeinu Tam, that women can volunteer mitzvah seh shazman grama. Therefore, a woman can volunteer to sit at the sukkah, and she can volunteer to shake the lulav, she can volunteer to come and hear the shofar. Those are all fine and legitimate. And she can even volunteer to recite a bracha as well. There's nothing wrong, says Rabbeinu Tam, with a woman reciting a bracha before shaking a lulav, before sitting at the sukkah, etc. Even though, just 1 second. Sorry, disturbance. Even argues Rabbeinu Tam, even though women are not technically obligated to the mitzvah, and it's hard for us to understand that they can say shekidishar mitzvosa v'tzivanu, nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam says that's also okay. Even though she's not technically v'tzivanu, the Ran explains that v'tzivanu is a lashon rabim, it's referring to Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people as a whole of v'tzivanu, but it's okay, the woman can recite the bracha anyway. And that is the standard Ashkenazi tradition till this very day. The Rambam disagrees, and Shulchan Aruch quotes that tradition, which is the Sephardi tradition till today, that women do not recite brachas on mitzvah seh shazman grama. The Rambam would approve of a woman sitting in the sukkah. The Gemara speaks about women sitting in the sukkah. The Rambam would have no qualms with a woman shaking a lulav, but the Rambam would say you cannot recite a bracha on those mitzvahs. And again, that's the practice of the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah, who the Ashkenazim follow, the Ramah says that not only can she do mitzvah, she can even recite a bracha. So therefore, the Ramah references his own opinion, the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that if a woman wants to put on tzitzit and recite a bracha, that's fine. Why should that be any different than any other mitzvah seh shazman grama? But then the Ramah makes it about face. The Ramah writes, no, not so simple. Ach mechse ki yuhara, v'lachein ein lehen lubosh tzitzis. Hove eino chobes gavra, perish eino chayv litnos otas vishis chayv tzitzis. Comes the Ramah and says, in theory, everything I said up until now should be correct. But now, says the Ramah, I'm going to explain to you why tzitzis parts ways from lulav and sukkah. Says the Ramah, when it comes to tzitzis, nobody's really obligated to wear tzitzis. What that means is as follows. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then you're obligated to put on tzitzis. Nobody told you that you have to put on a four-cornered garment. Do we go out of our way, we bend over backwards to walk around all day with a pair of tzitzis on? So that's because the Gemara tells us that you're supposed to show chavivas ha-mitzvahs. The Gemara brings Moshe Rabbeinu as an example. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter into Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill the mitzvahs, atliyas baretz, the agricultural mitzvahs, even though he wasn't obligated. He wasn't in Eretz, he lived in Chutz Lorenz. It doesn't matter. As a sign of chavivas ha-mitzvahs, to show that you really, really love mitzvahs and you desire to do mitzvahs, it's the proper thing to set up a situation to obligate you in mitzvahs. So therefore, the halacha, of course, we all wear tzitzis. We go out of our way to wear a four-cornered garment, dafka, to have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah. But technically, you don't have to do that. So our putting on tzitzis is almost like a midas chasidus. Our putting on tzitzis is going above and beyond the call of duty. Chaim de Ramon says that you have to be careful when you start to adopt the midas chasidus, when you start to do chumras, you start to do hidurim, you have to be careful not to go overboard. If you go overboard in midas chasidus, it can begin to touch upon the principle called yuhara. Yuhara becomes very showy, becomes very gaivide, becomes very haughty. I'm showing off a little bit as to I'm doing this chumra, that chumra, this chumra, that. You have to be very, very careful. Usually, if a person wants to have certain chumras and hidurim, it's best to keep them quiet. Let's keep them private. There's a principle in halacha called nechzik yura. It smacks, it looks a little bit like haibadik. In the famous story with the Rav, that somebody asked the Rav about a certain practice that they were doing. They asked the Rav, is this a violation of nechzik yura? Does this appear to be yura? The Rav said, no, this is not nechzik yura, this is yura mamish. He said, it's the real haibadik, it's the real mekoy, it's worse than nechzik yura. So the Ramah says that for a woman to come to shul and hear shofar, that's a beautiful thing. Because men are obligated to hear shofar. Women are not technically obligated. A woman wants to come. That's a one woman. For a woman to recite Kriya Shema, that's a beautiful thing. Men are obligated. Women are not technically obligated. Wonderful. For a woman to shake a lulav, that's a beautiful thing. For a woman to go out of her way today when nobody really wears four-corner garments, then the Ummah Zolam, the non-Jews in the second world, nobody wears four-corner garments. We as observant men go out of our way, bend over backwards to put on a four-corner garment to be mechayev ourselves in the midst of that. We're not really chayev in the first place. For a woman to do that, for a Muslim, that's already too much. That's already mechzik yura. That's already going overboard in terms of Amidas Chassidus, and therefore, in fact, should be discouraged. So that's what the Ashkenazi practice is that even though we're perfectly okay with women sitting in the sukkah and coming to the shofar and shaking the lulav and saying Kriya Shema, all the other mitzvahs we're fine with, but tzitzis is different. Tefillin is different for a totally different reason, not on topic right now, but tzitzis is therefore different. So therefore, lemaisa, women should really not be wearing tzitzis. Again, I can't say that I don't want to say it's not also, the Ramah says not to do it, so then the Ramah says not that you shouldn't do it, but the reason why it's usher, so to speak, is a little bit of a different isser. It's not an isser gomor. It has that dimension of mechzik yura. I'm sorry, someone had a question? Or? Oh, that's a better question. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. I thought someone was asking a question. So one could argue that since the isser, quote unquote, of a woman wearing tzitzis today is not that it's an isser per se, but rather it's the yura part of it, one could easily argue that that yura really only makes sense when you're doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. Here, this young lady is putting it on to be kushinana. She's playing tevye in a play for figure. I don't know what she's wearing to fit this what. So she's just doing it as a costume. So that's not a mechzikur. That's a nothing. It's a garnish. She's not doing it because it's a mitzvah. She's not showing off her ability to do these mitzvahs that she's not really obligated in altogether. So the chora, from the vantage point of this Ramah, I don't think would really pose much of a problem. However, what was bothering me was perhaps a second consideration. That what is the second consideration? That lemaisa, bottom line in Tavshin Pei Aleph, women don't wear tzitzis either because Shulchan Aruch was unheard of women wearing tzitzis. Even the Ramah is not approving of the women wearing tzitzis. So tachlis, a pair of tzitzis today is considered to be halachically a begadish. And once something is identified as a begadish, as a male garment, that poses a much more serious problem than the Ramah's mechzikura. If you live in a world where some women are wearing tzitzis, some women, some men are wearing tzitzis, some women are wearing tzitzis, that's not called a begadish. And you have garments that can be worn by both, so that's perfectly acceptable. If you have something that's clearly designated, clearly says like clearly yuchad as a begadish, and a woman goes out and wears that, or vice versa, so that's a Torah prohibition. That's not just because of her Ramah's mechzikura, that becomes a Torah prohibition. So maybe the wearing of the tzitzis has to be discouraged, not because of the original reason of the Ramah, but because of the more serious problem that now developed, because of the Pesach of the Ramah, now a more serious problem has developed. So this touches on a general question about the prohibition of begadish and begadisha, particularly in the context of for amusement, for place, for costumes, etc. Has its roots in Uchus Purim. We start off the Shia by saying that the costumes she has usually are associated with Purim. So this part actually does appear in Uchus Purim, the Uchus Megillah, in the second of the Mamakonis. The Ramon in Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Vav Uchus Purim quotes, Mashinagu Lubosh Pratzufim B'Purim. The custom is that people wear masks on Purim, they cover their faces on Purim. And now the Ramon says, V'geber loy v'simlas isha v'isha kli geber. That it was practiced, the Ramon is telling you in Poland, where he lived in the 1500s, so the men would wear women's clothing, the women would wear men's clothing. So what do we do about that? Potential is there Isa? Says Ramano, ain't this Sibidover. Says there's no issue whatsoever. It's not also Bechlat. Why? Because the goal of wearing this clothing was not, as the Torah says, Derch Te'eva. The Torah says, if a man is wearing the woman's clothing in order to mimic a woman, or the woman's wearing the male clothing in order to mimic a man, that's what the Torah prohibits. But if a person is doing it as just a joke, it's just amusement, it's part of a Purim spiel, so then that's just a simple biyama. So since the Torah uses the word teyeva, the Torah says that the reason why you can't do these kinds of things is because that's called derech teyeva, that's called derech pritzos. So if it's not being done for the purpose of pritzos, so then presumably it would be permissible. There are more sounds like not only is it permissible in the Torah, it's permissible even in the Rabbanah, since the Torah spells out what the reason is. Usually we have a rule called lo deshit in time of the Quran. We follow the view in the Gemara that if we come up with some great reason for a mitzvah, so it's very nice to darshan time of mitzvahs. It's wonderful. You can write a Sefer Chinuch, and you can write Amar Nevuchim, and you can write Perushim on Chumash, and you give a lot of drushes to try to understand the deeper meaning of mitzvahs. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. That's part of the mitzvah of Limud Torah. That adds to our appreciation of mitzvahs. However, what you have to know when to stop, namely, you can't say, well, I gave a great drush, I gave a great sermon on Shabbos morning, this is the reason for the mitzvah, and now that reason doesn't apply, therefore the mitzvah doesn't apply. So that we're not allowed to do. That's called lo darshin in time of the Torah. But the only time when you can, in a sense, be darish time of the Torah is if the Torah says it itself. If the Torah spells out what's wrong with what you're doing, so then the Torah is limiting the Isser and saying the Isser is only if it's derech, that reason. So here the Torah uses the lashon te'eva, which has the connotation of a pritzus. That's a phrase that they're using in the context of a raya as well. And therefore, only if it's being done for the purposes of potential pritzus reasons, then only then is the isser. But if it's not being done in any shape or form, but there is pritzus, it's being done just as a schok biyam, just as a joke, so then the Rama is saying that it should be permissible. So then the Rama continues and says, b'chein b'levishas kilayim d'rabbanan. We'll come back to that a little bit later, where that got into the picture as well. Wearing shatnez, that's only shatnez d'rabbanan, but we'll get to that in a moment. The Rama writes that there are those who say that you shouldn't be doing these things. But the custom is like the first view. So the Rama is basically sanctioning that as long as it's not being done derech teyeva, it would be permissible. But notwithstanding what the Rama says, many, many other poskim did not accept this. And the third of the Rama Kremis, so the Bishavur writes that Ayin Bi Yerdeish, because the Shem Taz, the Shem Abach, Sheesh Lebatam in exam. So the Bach, and then the Taz follows suit and says that this custom that the Rama sanctioning should really preferably be abolished. Hein Bepurim, we should abolish it on Purim. O Besimchas Nisuin, or people used to get dressed up at the for shtick at weddings, wearing women's clothing. You should stop these customs as well. The Bechen Kasev Be'agel L'Sham, Vim Kolam Abushim Shalish, Rach Ma'abush Echa Shalisha, V'nikarim Ve'im Efshar Shem Limchas Behem. The Prima Gondim writes that maybe you can have almost like a little bit of a compromise. If a person, Mamish, gets dressed up like a woman, they literally feel like a woman, they're wearing a skirt, they put on a sheitel, they're dressed up, Mamish, in women's shoes. So that's, the Rama said, even that's mutter, because it's derech chayk, not derech teyeva. That's already a little bit too frightening. But the person is basically recognizable as a man, and the guy walks in the shul on Purim, he's wearing his wife's sheitel, but you can tell, you can see that, see who he is. So, no. So the Prima Gondim says, maybe that's not so terrible. I am the Knesset Gedolah v'Shlosh Yizhiyu L'Hachim Yizhan. But he quotes other posts that you stay away from this. Don't get involved with these shaylas. Not right. It's not a good thing to do. So what's the final take on these Purim costumes? So again, there are more permitted at Mikra Adit, and other Gedolah Yacharonim, and Mishnah Berurah seems to side with those later Yacharonim, who really were not too happy with that practice. So putting it together, the two shaylas that we raise now is, number one, the issue of wearing tzitzis per se, a woman wearing tzitzis. And then number two, once wearing tzitzis has become a male garment, should we now invoke the issue of lo yilbash? So it would appear that the ikar adin, both of those isurim, don't really apply under the circumstances of the school play. That I believe there's an issue of yura, but it's not being done b'teres mitzvah anyway. And to say that it's a real violation of begid isha, so it's a begging ish for this case, it's probably also not true. There are mahal's mikra din its mother, and even some achranim who are machmel, such as the Prima Gondim. So he said that ein limcha ispam, that as long as it's recognizable, the person is still a man or a woman, they're just wearing one garment, so that probably not such a problem. But again, you get the impression with the Shabur that it wasn't so thrilled with this whole picture, and therefore probably not a very good idea. And this is what I told the person. I said to the person who asked me the shayla, I said, listen, I said, I don't want to say usur. You know, Gemara says you have to be careful. You're not allowed in the same way. Gemara says the same way usur l'hatr is never usur. It's usur lesser, davar mutter also. You have to be careful. You shouldn't use the word usur and things that are not usur. And you could say not recommended, not in the spirit of halacha, not a good etza. So I use some kind of a parvel. I said, well, I don't think it's good chinuch. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it's appropriate. But again, other people may have different opinions on that. I don't think that it's a good idea. But in terms of using the word absolutely aser, so even though we have two possible reasons why it should be aser, it would appear that probably neither of those two reasons are at least possible, one for sure, and possibly the second one as well, don't really apply. In passing, about this discussion about the wearing of tzitzis and the wearing of begedisha, etc., so the Ramah threw in something else into this mix, which at first glance is very, very startling. The Ramah said in the same breath, back to that Ramah Nechus Purim, when he said that the Ikra Din is probably okay to wear begedisha derech tzchaik, so then he says, and by the way, kelayim derabanan is also okay. If you're wearing shatnez, it's not real shatnez. There, I said that it would be okay. Just parenthetically, what in the world is not shatnez deraisa? Is it shatnez or not shatnez? So the Gemara tells us that in order to be shatnez deraisa, it's not enough just that woolen linen. There has to be a woolen linen that's connected in a certain manner. The Gemara gives you a whole technicality of what that connection has to be, and the threads have to be prepared in a certain way. So you could sometimes have a situation where this particular issue is shatnez, but it may be lacking one of the Torah conditions necessary to be shatnez deraisa. We still cannot sanction wearing it, but something that's only shatnez on the level of the Rabbanan is, again, it's obviously not a Torah prohibition. So the Ramah quotes the Yesh Aymrim that wearing shatnez, which is only shatnez Rabbanan for some technical reason, would be okay on Purim. My question is, well, where did that come from? So I understand the first half of the Ramah, that if you're wearing Begit Isha, it's Mutar on Purim. That made a lot of sense, because the Isra is only if it's Derech Te'eva, and this is not being done Derech Te'eva, therefore it's Mutar. But how does that toeva, how does that mitigate shatnez? What does shatnez do toeva? Why should doing it in a joke be any less of a problem than shatnez? And why are we only willing to be mekel shatnez derabanan? What is that all about? So this Ramah seems to be a throwback to what appears in the fourth of the Ramah Kamos. That's a machlekes rishon that appears presents itself as a machlekes the mechaber and the manuch shatnez as follows in Simin Shin Aleph in the fourth of the Ramah Kamos. Well, you bash adam kelayim aroi. A person should not wear kilayim, should not wear shatnez, even a very temporary way. So he shouldn't even put it on for a moment. Fafilo gabi asar begodim, even if he's already wearing 10 sweaters, and the 11th sweater is shatnez. So the truth is that it's not so cold outside. So the 11th sweater is not doing all that much. It's not keeping him warm. Nope, it doesn't matter. Even though he's not benefiting from the shatnez, that would still be a violation of the Mishnah shatnez. And then the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from Rambam, quoting from the Gemara, and the Masechet Bava Kama, based on Mishnayos and Kilayim. And even if the person is wearing the shatnez in order to avoid paying taxes, pay the tax collector, that's also a violation of shatnez. First, you have to give a little bit of a disclaimer before we go back to the shatnez story. Who in the world gave him the right to avoid paying the taxes? What is this all about? So the Gemara explains as follows, that in the days of Chazal, so sometimes you had the practice was that when you reach certain points, you press over the bridge, you come to the city, rebels, the tax collector would pay the meches, like you come there, pay the meches. So anything that you were wearing was exempt from meches. They weren't making you pay taxes on your undershoes. They weren't making you pay taxes on your shoes. But if you're carrying clothing, so that was potentially subject to tax. That was the rule of taxation in the days of Chazal. So people would have a shtick, they would have a stunt, that they would put on a lot of clothing. They put on 20 shirts, and they tell the tax collector, "It's my shirt." So they would technically avoid the tax collector wasn't counting how many clothes you're wearing. So as long he would open up your suitcase, you didn't see 10 shirts in the suitcase. You didn't realize you had 10 shirts underneath your jacket. So people would be gunning with semeches. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do that. You forget about shatnez. You know why you're not allowed to do that? Because you have to pay tax. Adin v'chus adina. So the Gemara says the fairish in that this sugya appears in the end. Says you're not allowed to cheat the taxes. Of course, you have to pay taxes. Adina machus adina. So the Gemara says. So what do we talk about gunim semeches? So the Gemara says this is an illegitimate tax collector. This is not the king's tax. This is not a real tax collector, an authorized government tax collector. That the money's being raised in order to pay for the public needs. This is some ganav who's trying to make a couple of bucks off of you. So he's telling you he works. It's like you get the scam calls from the IRS. The IRS is not calling you. So a meshugana is calling you from trying to steal your money from you. So the ganav is a meches that Chazal is talking about. The Gemara says it's illegitimate taxes. If it's legitimate taxes, they're collecting taxes. taxes in order to build bridges and to build roads and to pay the police force. So of course you have to pay taxes. That's the shaila. So the Gemara here is talking about, are you allowed, if you find yourself in this position where you're about to get wobbed by the ganav tax collector, who's not supposed to be collecting money anyway, the only way out is to wear all the extra shirts. It happens to be Nebuch, one of the garments is shan. Is he allowed to do that? Shulchan Aruch says no. So this is again a whole sugi in Mishnayos and Kelayim and a sugi at the end of Bavakama. You're not allowed to wear shatnez, even if the purpose of wearing the shatnez is not because you really want to wear it. I don't want to wear this shirt. I got 15 other shirts. I don't want to wear this suit. I got 6 suits on anyway. The 7th suit is a shatnez. So it's not helping me anyway. No, you're not allowed to do it because why? The Torah says l'sur b'shatnez. You wear shatnez, that's the end of the story. So comes the Ramam on that Shulchan Aruch and next sif and above and says, "Agav yesh batirin, afil lubosh kelayim." The Ramah says that there are those who say that you're allowed to wear shatnez as long as you're not doing it because you're physically enjoying it. If you're wearing a garment keeping you warm, that's called a violation of shatnez. But if you're not wearing the baget to keep you warm for any physical hana, for example, the case that the Shulchan Aruch just answered, says the Ramah, it's not so simple that that's also. Oh, shalosha g'del haros midasan. Let's say a person wants to put on shatnez in order to check the size. He wants to see what size it is to sell. Well, let's say he wants to see what size it is to buy. So you go to the store, they take a suit off the rack, and you want to check out your size. And then you notice it says, oh, 90% wool, 10% linen. Oh, it says there, it's okay, you can wear it on anyway. Put it on anyway. Why? Because if I wear the suit, then I walk outside, it keeps me nice and warm. That's it, it's a shatnez. If I'm not getting any physical hana from it, I'm just simply finding out what my size is. The Ramah says, quotes, Yesh Batiri, that's technically permissible to do. And the Ramah says, other kinds of examples where you're not doing it, Levisha B'Teres Hana Amutr. So this is a running Machlekes, a Rishayin Machlekes, a Ripshat in the Gemara, Machlekes, Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah, Halacha. Are you permitted to wear Begadim Shoshatnez if it's not for physical enjoyment? So it could be that that's what the Ramah is driving at in Hilchos Purim. The Ramah is talking about wearing costume. When you wear a costume, you're not wearing the costume for hanoah. I mean, you're wearing the costume to get a good laugh out of it. But that's not called hanoah. You're not getting physical hanoah out of it. You're wearing this costume because it's Purim, because you're dancing at a wedding and you're putting on some shtick, or you're running the school play. So you're wearing some kind of a shatnez derabanan. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't matter why you're wearing it. If at the end of the day, bottom line is you have shatnez on your body, that's an iser, according to Shulchan Aruch. But according to the Ramah's materium, that as long as you're not doing a derech physical hanoah, it's technically permissible. So then just as the Ramah's matter to wear and the Ramah's matter to test, to check out what the size is, it's only the Ramah should be matter as well. And what if for stand for kashim on Purim or chasana? So look, Ora, if the Ramah really was quoting himself in Uchas Purim, he should have been matter even kilayim deraisa. Somehow, maybe the Ramah is kind of walking a tightrope and saying, "Be'ikaron, it could be even klam derais is really mutter to wear on Purim as a costume." But says the Ramah, "Ad kedekach, it's already a little bit pushing it. So at least chutz kilayim derabanan, it's only just derabanan anyway. So kedai yalu smoch al mekilim that mikra din, it's really permissible. So maybe that's what the Ramah is driving at. How levishes kilayim derabanan snuck in here." So it's snuck in, not the same way as Beged Ishus. Beged Ishus, but for a different reason, because it's not Dech Te'eva. This Heter of Kelayim is fundamentally Mutter because it's not called Levitch's Kelayim because Einu Nana Behem, and it probably should have been Mutter by Deraisas also, but Ad Kedekach, the Rabbah didn't want to be Mater or straight out. So the two different Heterim playing out in this Ramah, the two different things that you're allowed to wear, two different kinds of Begadim that and normally off limits, albeit now there are two different heterim that are combining together to permit it for Purim or for school plays or for chasanaza, etc. There is one last aspect of the sugya, other kinds of levishas begadim. I should use the word asurim here, but levishas begadim with halachic problems there is chol, and that would be almost like to complete the circle of tzitzis. We started out this year by talking about the woman who's wearing tzitzis. What about a man who's not wearing tzitzis? Maybe a man who's wearing a four-cornered garment but doesn't have tzitzis on it. But this is a common Purim shayla. Every couple of years, a guy walks into shul for the Megillah. He's wearing some. He's got a sombrero on. He's wearing these Mexican, kinds of shawls or something. He's wearing a four-corner garment. Gevalt! No tzitzis on them. No rounded corners. Gevalt! Are you allowed to do that or not? So levishes begadim derech tzchayik. So we saw their grounds to permit the woman to wear the garment with the tzitzis that we were willing to make, but it's not being done derech yura. We're willing to be makel, it could be mikra din, that beged isha, because it's not being done derech te'eva. It could be it's okay to wear the shatnez, or at least their abonim, maybe their aisa, because it's not being done derech hanos aguf. What about tzitzis? Is there any het to wear a four-corner garment without putting tzitzis on? So this is a machlekes erishayim, it's actually 2 days in Taiz and Masechas Nida, about this requirement of hanos aguf, which again, according to many exists by shatnez, not everybody, but according to the Ramah at least, exists by shatnez. Does that carry over to tzitzis as well? So one day in Taiz says, tzitzis b'chud b'shatnez b'chud. What's the difference? By shatnez, so the Torah speaks about lo silvash, it's a lashon levisha. Levisha has a certain connotation of enjoyment. I'm wearing it, I'm getting dressed up with it to keep me warm. Whereas by tzitzis, the Torah uses the word beged, ksus chashet techasa, but speaks about covering yourself with a four-cornered beged and then being obligated in tzitzis. So since that term levisha doesn't really appear in chassitzis, the one opinion tells you that Nida claims that the heter of non derech hanoah may not carry over. And the other day, Tai says, what's the difference? It's a shot, it's all the same. Either ye beged or nish beged. If you're going to tell me that a beged that's not worn for hanoah is not really called levisha beged, then it wouldn't be obligated to. It's almost like a lomdish machloikis. Is the din of hanoah that Ramah saying by shatnez, is that a din in the maisa levisha, or is that a din in the cheftza? So if you hold that, it's a din in the maisa levisha, so it could be there's no din of maisa levisha by tzitzis. But if you don't say din in the cheftza, nishkin megid, it's not going to cheftza for the megid, a chlisha megid, unless you're being nana from it. So tzitzis requires, but God, I'm a big contra, big day. So the Torah speaks about megid by tzitzis as well. So it's not 100% clear whether this heter of derech tzchayk, even if it applies to shatnez, whether it applies to tzitzis as well. Very often when this happens, so I'll ask the person who owns this beged. So very often they're borrowing the beged from somebody else. That's good. If you're borrowing the beged, then it's a tal sheula. Tal sheula is part of tzitzis ben atayr, and only after 30 days it'll become a chayav and rabbanon. So Purim only lasts for 1 day. Mishalayim, maybe two, maybe three, but mishulash. More than that, you're not going to be wearing your costume, so you're not going to run into a problem. So the bottom line is that you can have a lot of different shaylas involved in clothing and in costumes that have to be analyzed, and the answer is not necessarily the same, and the lomd is not necessarily the same. So we started out with probably the least of the problems, and that was the Yor of the Ramah, and we said that probably doesn't apply under these circumstances. Then we moved on to a potentially more serious problem of Begadisha, and we said that, well, Begadisha, maybe that doesn't apply either under these circumstances, not like it's in the post. Then we moved on to the issue of Shatnez, the Raiz of Shatnez, the Rabbanon, so that's Machlekes the Mechaber and the Ramah, and the Ramah and the Chesperm was willing at least to meet us halfway by Shatnez the Rabbanon. Then the fourth question concerning the mitzvah of tzitzis is wearing a beged and a four-corner garment, if it's being done derech tzchayk, does that constitute a wearing a beged to be chayv in tzitzis or not? That's also further shaila. It was probably a machlokes 2 days in Taisa Zeman Sechas. So again, a lot of shailas come up, and all the engine of all the shailas is this particular shaila that this young lady posed to me earlier in the week. But again, the answer to the different questions is going to depend on the lumdus in each particular area of halacha.
So obviously, if it's bikuach nefesh, it's okay.
Unless it's for the Yerba Yavos, because Nevish is my feet.